Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Rock and Roll, the podcast in which we speak about the fantastic company that we work for, the world of quality engineering, and the lives and roles of our amazing colleagues. My name's Stephen Knowles, I'm a career support manager at Rock, and today I'll be chatting to Rock's talent acquisition manager, Sean Gray, about our recruitment process, what sets us apart, some of the advice we could give to other recruiters out there, and also some of the brilliant roles we have available now and those to look out for in the future.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for bringing me back. I must have done all right the first time round.
You did, yeah. I really enjoyed our interview last time.
Me too.
So just a quick introduction before we get going. Tell us about some of the fantastically rich content we've got planned for this episode. And can you just tell us briefly about what your role includes? And in addition, what is your favourite thing about working at Rock?
Sure thing, Steve. So again, I'm the talent acquisition manager here at Rock. My job, simply put, is to bring the best possible people into Rock, whether that's delivery people, sales, marketing, the whole shebang. But it's got complexities to the role. There's end-to-end recruitment, there's marketing campaigns, there's PR, there's events and social outreach. There's a lot to it. But my favourite thing about Rock has always been twofold. One, it's that opportunity to change people's lives for the better, kind of step in and give them that next job opportunity or career progression. And the second part is definitely the people and culture. I think Rock has something really special when it comes to the culture and the way that we engage with one another, support one another, and get to bring people into the fold and experience that. It's great.
Yeah, and do you know what? I agree totally. I think that is one of the things that sets us apart. So that's great, but we're not just here to talk about yourself. We're here to talk about the process, how we go about recruiting and onboarding. So for anyone who's interested in learning more about Sean's role, we did a podcast a while ago that was purely about that, and that's available to listen to on our website. But Sean, tell me about the main challenges you face every day filling vacancies.
Sure. I mean, I think over the past couple of years or so, everyone within tech has been pretty cognizant of the massive paradigm shift of tech itself, about employees, the tech stacks, how we engage in businesses. So I think there was a massive, especially with COVID, a massive shift to online platforms and similar, which meant there was a huge demand for engineers, for testers and the like, but there was only a very limited candidate pool during that time. So a lot of businesses fighting over the same candidates, very limited scope in regards to support. So it meant that we had to adapt or fail, essentially. So I think the shift from an employee perspective as well changed about their prerogatives, about what they're looking for in a company. It's not just about money and salary and opportunities, it's about quality of life, working remotely, more time with family and things like that. So myself and businesses have to change how we approach candidates, making sure we do so in an organic way, making sure we're appealing to key drivers such as quality of life and more time at home, those kind of things. So those were the main challenges for us, is making sure we adapted properly, we made sure we shifted effectively, and we're engaging the right candidates at the right time.
And I think they're great insights because, I mean, I get so many people talking to me now about the differences that they look for in roles. So it's a lot different drivers because of the events that's happened over the last couple of years. I think it's also important to mention that Rock and the wider world is experiencing a real digital skills gap. With Hayes Recruitment recently reporting that almost 95% of employers looking for tech talent have encountered a skills shortage. Rock has recently published a white paper which covers in detail the measures that we've put in place to combat the skills gap and some of those challenges that you've just mentioned. We've also hosted webinars on this topic which are available to watch on demand. But for now, Sean, could you give me a few insights into the highlights of the white paper, maybe starting with the various stages of our recruitment journey?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of feeds back into my previous answer about approaching candidates in an organic way. In the days of the old interview process where you're talking about 7 interviews and really intensive tech reviews, all this kind of stuff, it's just not fit for purpose. People, especially employees, where they may have, candidates may have 30 plus companies approaching them, they're just not going to spend the time doing it. So for us, again, we had to make sure that it was fit for purpose in regards to the interview process. We condensed it all down to quite a minimal approach in most roles, about 3 stages, and making sure it was, again, that organic approach. So most of it's face-to-face, minimal tech reviews, making sure it's, you know, the right kind of questioning, so it's not just around formal stuff. It's about what they're looking for in the next role. Is this role going to be the right fit for them? What's the progression opportunities they're after? Those kind of things. So for us, it follows a pre-screen, which is essentially just an hour chat with me and them over the phone to get to know them better, what they're looking for, key drivers. Then it's the first stage, which again is just over Microsoft Teams. It's not formal, it's very much relaxed. There might be some assessments in the middle. Then a final stage, again, nice chat over Teams, probably the more senior member of staff to go into the real nitty-gritty. But again, nice, easy process. We try to keep it within about 7 working days, and they're kept into the full transparent detail throughout, so they're fully aware of what's going on.
And do you mind me asking a question about that? Do you find the candidates themselves prefer that type of experience, or is there still that looking for a formal interview before they even begin a conversation? How does it work?
It's a good question. I think there's still that kind of, I suppose, hesitation, because that's been the status quo for so long. Candidates still kind of expect that level of formality. I think it's just about setting the expectation. This is the way that we do things. We want to qualify you based on a range of criteria. It's not just can you do the job, it's can you engage well with stakeholders, can you communicate and gel well with the teams and things of that nature. I think during that initial pre-screen, we set that expectation quite straightforward. So by the time they've got into the interview process, they don't kind of have that hesitation going, this doesn't feel like an interview, it's just a nice chat, and again, that's how we are.
And I think that's brilliant, I really do. A lot of people probably don't realise there is so much to recruiting, because a lot of people think it's just stick an advert on a website.
Yeah, where some CVs.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you do on a day-to-day basis, and I know how much engagement you put in with all our candidates that we potentially take forward. I think it's great to share this information with a wider audience, I really do. You've spoken a lot there about what happens when the candidates are so successful with an application. What happens to those who haven't quite made it to that stage?
Yeah, and this is vitally important. I think it's where a lot of businesses fall down as well, especially in the current candidate market, is in order to ensure good candidate experience, to have a good reputation for other candidates with things like referrals or attraction campaigns, is you have to be known as a respected employer. So the situations where candidates are unsuccessful, you've got to treat them the same due care and attention as you would with a successful candidate. So that means compiling and delivering really constructive and thoughtful feedback to the areas that they did really well, the areas they struggled on, development areas they can work on. We always want to leave the door open for future opportunities as well. So if we say, hey, it's not been the right fit this time, but if you work on this area, this area, this area, it will be. And there's been loads of opportunities where, you know, 6-12 months down the line, I've reconnected with an unsuccessful candidate and they have got the job, which I think is really important. But I've put quite a few tips and tricks in the white paper as well, if employers are looking for a few areas to work on that.
Oh, well, I'll ask you some more questions about the white paper in a minute. But that's amazing, and I couldn't agree more. I think what that really does is it shows that we as a company live and breathe our values, because we have a system in here for internal feedback, and it's nice to know we do that externally for our candidates as well, whether they're successful or not. It's key to everything we do, those values. So tell us a little bit more about some of the roles that we're always looking out for.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think the key thing for us, again, probably a big differentiator for us, is we've got a fantastic academy program that we run twice a year, and that covers most of our, I don't want to say junior level role, but the less commercial experience role, so your test engineers, your test analysts. So it tends to be, for us, it's the senior test engineers, the senior test analysts, the test managers are the bulk of our recruitment roles. Within those, again, kind of going back to my earlier question, it's not just about the deliverables or the technical skill set, it's about the really strong communication, because we work so closely with our clients, engage so closely with our stakeholders, with trusted advisors. Strong communication skills are absolutely vital, so that's a key thing we look for. And then the other aspect as well is just about the culture and fit. So again, it's not just about can you do the job, are you going to gel well with the teams, do you live and breathe our values, are you going to contribute towards the culture and how we grow and advance and all that kind of stuff. So those are the key things we look for, but those tend to be the roles we're focused on.
That's great stuff. And as somebody who's played an active part in the academy recruitment process, I can see how successful that has been. And I think it is worth pointing out that so far in 3 academies, we've got like 100% retention rate, which is amazing, and shows that we get those, you know, that pre-screen, that onboarding, you know, we do it really well. So that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about specific roles that we may not always need, but we're on the lookout for at the minute.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, we're kind of in a massive growth spurt across the whole business. I mean, you know, really, Steve, when I joined a couple of years ago, we were about 50 people, now we're 120. So across all business support and further on, we're just growing massively. So for us, business support's a big one. So we're looking for people across finance, people across marketing, a few different areas. We're looking for somebody for my team as well. I'm a nice guy, I promise. Please join me. So yeah, it's just been great. You know, it's been so diverse, the recruitment we've been looking for. But those are some areas. I think another one we tend to look for every now and again, which is quite niche, is performance. I think it's a growing area. It's one that we want to do some more in this space. And so I think if we come across any really strong performance people, I'm always happy to have a chat as well.
Okay. I can absolutely vouch for that, Sean. I think you're one of the best recruiters I've ever worked with. So if anybody is interested in roles, come and work with this gentleman.
I'll sort you the cash later.
Okay. I think that's great advice you've given to people there. And I know a lot of our colleagues originally saw their role advertised on places like LinkedIn. So there's definitely something there. Just tell me a couple of key points from the white paper that you think people should look out for.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, I think the candidate feedback and experience is a key one, because most of the candidates that I speak to, they don't get that from organisations, and essentially it's a burned bridge. And I think in a market that's so candidate driven, where there's so many niche candidates that are being sought after by many companies, a positive word, a recommendation, a referral is absolute gold dust. And the way that you do that is having that positive candidate experience. So I think some businesses need to definitely look at the white paper and see the process that we follow, because I've had many, many referrals that have worked out great for us because the person who wasn't successful said, well, we should speak to Rock about this role, which is really important. And then the second area, maybe just about our approach and the way that we do things in regards to marketing and LinkedIn. I think the LinkedIn approach that we take has worked successfully for a long time. I think it's easy to overexpose yourself or saturate with too much marketing. I think a targeted approach when it comes to things like headhunting is really important. So the way that we reach out to potential candidates, the way that we message them, is very organic. I don't write War and Peace. I find out a little bit about them in their profile and put some little bits in there, which is, I think, a nice touch. But again, all that is in the white paper.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you, Sean. Well, I think that's about it for the content today. Thank you for the conversation, Sean. It's been brilliant. We don't want to give too much away, though, so we want you to go and look at the white paper. So the white paper will be available on our website, and we'll also post the details of how to access it on the link to this post. We've covered a lot around content today. This is a very rich subject that we could talk many more times about. Please do give the white paper a read. I think you'll find it interesting, and you'll probably find some things in there that you didn't even know you were looking for. As always, keep an eye out for loads more content and information about our job vacancies on our websites and social media. Thank you very much for chatting with me today, Sean. Who knows, you may be the first person who does 3 episodes. Such is your popularity.
A man can dream.
But until next time, thanks very much, and look out for forthcoming episodes of Rock and Roll.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.